his common opponent, so you know the personnel, you know the scheme. It's a normal week of preparation. You obviously look at past games you played against them from this year, last year, and also how they're playing recently.
Hey, Aaron, Mike was talking about how impressed he's been with the process Ty has had this season, turning himself into a three-down back. I'm curious, how have you seen that in that process from seeing the three-down back?
Well, he works hard. I mean, he asks a lot of good questions. Him and I have spent some time together the night before the games going over schemes and responsibilities and possible checks that might come up. So he cares about it a lot, and I think he's real comfortable back there. He does good things in the passing game out of the backfield for us, and obviously last week was the first week he really ran multiple times the way that I think he's capable of. Obviously it's the first time he had more than eight or nine carries probably, but a lot of production. He cares about it, and he's been improving every single week.
Aaron, have you found that, are you able to, when you moved out of the pocket, were you able to get on your toe and kind of move? Did you do that when you scrambled against Chicago, or is that kind of the biggest challenge?
I mean, it was just kind of reactionary. I was dealing with the discomfort, just pushing through it. Hopefully this week we'll be in a better place.
Aaron, when you said, talked about running the table, I think people looked at it as a prediction. But wasn't it really more just about establishing, a mindset at that point? Is that more what it was? Or was it a prediction?
It was a feeling. I just felt that our team had it inside of us. Talked about it yesterday. It's obviously it's a leap of faith, but also a feeling based on, seeing these guys every single day and understanding how close I felt like we were to being a better offense. I felt like regardless of how our defense was playing, if we could set the tone offensively vis-a-vis, it would help out, the defense, give them a little confidence when they took the field that they're not behind or against the field position every single time as they were many times during that four-game stretch.
Has that emerged with Ty's emergence and Jared's return to give you more of a sense of a complete offense?
I think Jared's return has been important, just giving us, two tight ends that can get down the field, and obviously he's a matchup issue when he split him out to his own side, as we've seen in various games, been a big part of our offense. I think the consistent emergence of Davante Adams has helped as well. It's taken a lot of the pressure off some of the other guys and given me a good place to go with the ball consistently. We've needed it with Randall's health issues the past couple weeks. But Jordy as well has had a great season. He should be comeback player of the year for sure. The way that he's bounced back from that ACL and been extremely productive. Being that it's, Pro Bowl nomination day today, or the results come out, I'm very hopeful that we won't get nipped by the year after they're ready kind of curse that happens to a lot of guys. I think in general, just to point out a few guys, obviously, I think everybody in the offensive line is very well deserving. David Bakhtiari, as much as any of those guys, TJ Lang deserves to go. Brian Balaguer's had a great season. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, I think, should be a no-doubter as well. And I think Morgan Burnett as well should be there. So we've had a number of guys play some really good football for us. Nick Perry has had a great season as well for us, and I think deserves consideration, if not to get voted in. But, as you know how it goes, a lot of times it's a popularity contest that guys sometimes don't get in until a year after they're probably deserving.
How about Aaron Rodgers? Do you want it?
I mean, it's always a good thing to get nominated, but I don't plan on playing in it.
Davante Adams was obviously frustrated after his two drops against Chicago. It's still kind of a young player. Do you have to pull him aside and say something, or is there just confidence in him and knowing he can do what he can do?
I don't have to say anything to him. I mean, he's a competitive guy. That was very abnormal. But as I've said many times, I mean, those are going to happen. Those are acceptable. Drops are part of the game. Physical mistakes are part of the game. The mental mistakes are the frustrating ones. And, the guy's as sharp mentally as they come. So I just went over to him and I said, hey, don't throw your helmet down like that, in case we go back out on the field, if there's a sudden change. I don't want you to be helmetless, but got a little chuckle out of him. But no, I keep going to him. That's not going to stop at all. The guy's a big time playmaker for us, and he has all the confidence in the world. And a couple drops is not going to put a dent in that.
You talked about keep going to him. You did it Saturday. You did it last season. You had a stroke. You never went away from him. Why is that?
You're the one to keep going.
Yes.
Well, you need to let those guys know you got confidence in them. And again, drops are part of the game. They're going to happen. Those you can accept. The mental mistakes is when you get frustrated. Physical mistakes happen. I mean, there's going to be slips. There's going to be drops. There's going to be slight lapses in in the final finishing the catch at times. But that's part of the game. That doesn't lose any confidence on my part in a guy. And Devontae has earned targets. I mean, he's been open consistently this year and made a lot of plays for us.
Aaron, Montgomery in the Bears game, did the Bears treat him personnel-wise as a running back the whole time, or did they adjust anything as a game?
For the most part, they treat him as a running back. I believe that they did some nickel to our personnel early with a fullback and him in the game based on the three receivers. They ended up going to some more base defense in that situation later in the game as we had a lot of success in those personnel groups. So this was the first game in the last four where they treated him as a running back. So I would assume more of the same going forward.
So that's like good information for you guys to have.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time in the last four that somebody's done that for us.
Aaron, Mike was saying that you don't really talk postseason until you win at least 10 games, but if it started today, you know, the Packers would be in. Do you take some pride in how you battled back into the picture?
Not if you don't finish it off. I mean, like I said after the game, you know what it feels like to be 4-6. That's a tough situation to be in. It's frustrating. It's a struggle. It's a grind. But luckily in those situations, we stuck together and didn't have any fracturing in the locker room, no finger pointing, no, the unnamed sources coming out, taking shots at guys. We stuck together, and I think we all believed sometimes in this business it just takes one to get going, and we got that first one, and we came home and won a couple, and then we won a tough one on the road. Now we got two left, win them both, and we're in, and we're division champs, so that's the goal at this point.
Do you pretty much expect to be without restrictions and with the cap? How's it feeling? Obviously, facing your third game, it's playing hard.
Yeah, we're not doing a whole lot physically today, but I'll have a better idea tomorrow. Again, we'll be talking to you guys tomorrow, but I would assume, based on how I felt after the game, that I'll be closer to 100% than I was in the Chicago game.
What's the week like, Aaron, when you don't get a lot of work on the field? I mean, obviously, last week was injury related. This week, short week, plus the injury. What is it like?
Yeah, I go through all the walkthrough reps. That's important. Just calling the plays and going through the checks and then kind of hearing, my voice and some of the changes I might go through. So I go through all the walkthrough reps. And then if I'm like last week, it didn't make any sense to be down there because I was in a lot of discomfort. So I was up here watching film and rehabbing. At this point this week, I would assume I'd be down on the field and more on a limited basis starting the week out tomorrow. And moving forward from there, feeling better and going through all the mental reps and the walkthrough reps.
Here on the other day, you guys complete the 60-yard pass, but a lot happens between throwing that ball and getting up and getting the ball clocked, et cetera. In your experience, how much does that type of situation, kind of the global awareness of everybody, differentiate good teams from teams that kind of get chaotic in a situation like that?
Well, I think you've seen over the course of the last couple of years, some people can struggle in those situations. There's a lot that you have to think about in a short amount of time and with a lot of stuff happening. You've seen unintentional knees being taken before instead of clocking the ball. You've seen trying to clock the ball with guys not set and getting that 10-second runoff. So for us, it was just making sure we had 11 on the field as Lane tried to get back in the mix. And then the other key is just making sure everybody's set and we're on the same page. You can see on the TV copy, I'm trying to calm everybody down. Corey ran up right away to snap the ball. At that point, as the clock goes 12, 11, 10, there's not a real advantage to clocking it, to spiking it right there because you don't want to kick a field goal and then have to kick off at that point. So I decided to run it down the final 6 seconds and down and snap it about 4 and spike it, knowing we're out of timeouts and let's just kick it on the last one and get out of here.
That was a long way to run on 60 yards on that cap. Is that challenging at all?
At that point, you kind of got a jolt of adrenaline. So, you know, there was a lot going on. Mike was yelling in my ear to get Lane off the field. I didn't know what he was talking about. I was looking behind me at first, and in the moment, you forget that the previous play of both Lane and TJ had come out. So I kind of looked behind and thought somebody was down or something. They were trying to run somebody on. Then I realized he's right to my right, just trotting along there. So I was just trying to get him off the field. And when you're thinking about other things, it takes your mind off the pain. But like I said after the game, the cold helped with the calf because my lower leg was numb to a point, I think.
You took took a couple of hits there in Chicago, and none of them seemed to set you back. Is there with your calf, is there a certain way that you can maybe correct or adjust to take a hit in a certain way that doesn't set you back, or is it just luck? I mean, is there anything you can do?
Well, I think, you know, taking a hit's not really about your calf position. Escaping is really the thing, and moving in the pocket that I'm concerned with my calf and my ability to move subtle movements. I felt good really the first third down of the game. 44 comes clean, and I kind of sidestepped to the left, kind of a quick move in the pocket, threw it to Jared for a first down. At that point, I knew that I was able to make some quick movements in the pocket. As the game extended, I felt some freedom moving a little bit. It actually felt better. Kind of quick movements than the jogging, like jogging on the field or off the field, was actually more painful than the quick movements. But taking a hit is kind of something you learn as a player in this league on how to try and avoid some of those injury ridden hits.